said, where there's two or three gathered in my name, there he would be in the midst of us. Oh, praise God. How many of you know when you go on vacation that you don't take a vacation from God, but you take him with you? Yes, indeed. How many of you put your trust and your confidence in Jesus and in Jesus alone? There's nothing else that we can put our hope and our trust in, no other than Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I do look for opportunities when I go on vacation to be a witness for Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not the regular preacher here. We got some visitors today, and we're glad that you're with us, and we just want you to make yourself at home and enjoy our service and come back again. And you some of you church folks, you see these people, get up and make sure you shake their hands and greet them before they leave here today. There's nothing no worse than to walk in a church and nobody greets you. I got invited to a church one time, and the girl says, we're having a revival. So, and I said, okay. And I didn't tell her I was coming, but anyway, a couple of the ladies at the church said, knew that girl, we all work with her. And they said, are you going? I said, yeah, I'm going. And they said, well, we'll go with you. I said, okay. So we go to the church. And we get up there in the church, and this lady plays piano now for this church. We get there, and she wasn't nowhere to be found. And I said, well, maybe she'll come in later. Later never came. So she didn't show up, but we enjoyed the service anyway. Didn't nobody know us. We had a couple people that shook our hands. So when I went back to work the next morning, I saw her, and I said, hey, young lady. I said, that was a wonderful service that y'all had last night. Oh, you wasn't at my church. And I began to describe her church to her. Oh, you was there. I said, oh, yeah, where were you? You invited me. One guy asked me one time, he said, you don't want to go to church with me, do you? I said, no, not really. Not with that kind of attitude. Oh, he was so excited about his church. Oh, you don't want to go with me to church today, do you? No, not really. But I went anyway. And he was shocked when he came in and saw me. He said, oh, bomb. You're here. Bomb means in country language, that means, oh, my goodness, you're here. They have to translate sometime that country slang, you know. Praise God. I like these songs that we sing, you know, the song. How many of you like songs? The songs that will speak to you? Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes, man, I can be going down the road and a song will come across the airwaves, and, you know, I've got the XM in my car. I like that. You know, my wife works and makes good money, so I can afford that XM, you know. It's not that little AM and FM stuff, but I can get on up where you don't have commercials and all of this stuff, but you get all kinds of channels. So I listened to one, and that song that Dr. Mike sung this morning, the first one, Oh Happy Day. How many of you like that song? Oh, man, you can get into that song, can't you? I mean to tell you, boy, it's exciting when you can. You know, I'm going to make that song. Whenever I go on a cruise, I've made that song my theme song, Oh Happy Day. I remember the first time that I sung that song on a cruise ship. No, I didn't get up in front of everybody and sing. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not no singer. I like to sing, but I can't sing. So I'm on a cruise ship. That ship is long. That thing's about 900 feet long. I've been on them longer than that, but this one's about 900 feet long, and you're coming down a long haul just as far as you can see. And nobody was out there. Just me and the wife, and I think Tony and Bickett, we was all coming down through there, and I got to singing that song. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed. About the time two little girls jump out the room, when Jesus washed, and then mama grabs them, drags them. Oh, she said, you can't. My girls, they just show. I said, no, let them sing it. So we were just on a cruise in June, so I'm walking down this hall again, and it hits me again. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed. This time a woman jumps out the room. Oh, she said, yeah, oh, happy day. Praise God. She said, it was a happy day. I said, yes, ma'am. In 1969, it was a happy day for me. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You don't never know where God is going to put you and what He's going to put in your mouth to say. Just say it, because you don't know who needs what God has given you. Oh, praise God. That happiness and that joy that God has put in your heart, let people know that you love Jesus. Let me tell you something. I heard I don't know who Crowder is. Anybody know who Crowder is? I don't know his first name. All right. Crowder sings a song. That's all the name that I got. I even Googled it, and that's all they give is Crowder. Now, he may be Ben or a Junior or something like that, but it's Crowder. And he sings a song, and I want to tell you one thing. It's an old song. He did a makeover of it, I think. Am I right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All my hope is in Jesus. Anybody ever heard that song? Whoo, I get excited. I tell you, I couldn't understand the lyrics because the way that he sings that song, so I Googled it, the lyrics in that thing. And oh my goodness, man, oh man, oh man, it made me think of me. It made me think of me. I'm no stranger to prison. And I'm no stranger to chains and sickness and all this stuff. None of us are we? But, oh, thank God. All our hope and our trust should be in Jesus, shouldn't it? No matter what. You know, we're living in a world today. We're living in a world today. It's so uncertain. We don't know from one day what's going to happen. There's so much unrest in the world today. You turn the tube on and you see a lot of things that are going on. You see people taunting people for what they believe. You see people starting to get violent over differences of their opinions and stuff like this. This shouldn't be in our society today. But the sad thing of it is sometimes that we as Christians, we get caught up into those things. And God teaches us not to get caught up in the affairs of the world, but to put our trust and our hope in Him. He ought to be our hope and our stay in every situation of our lives. How many of you ever found yourself in a situation that you just didn't know what to do about it, and you thought you was at your wit's end? And you didn't know where to go or where to turn. And there's always that little sweet, still, small voice that says, turn to me. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Y'all, am I making sense this morning? Because some of you are looking at me kind of like a little funny, you know. Like, man, where did the pastor get this thing at? Well, I come from Concord, by the way. I'm going to say it. I know you don't want me to, but I'm going to say it. I'm a country bumpkin from Concord, by the way. Yes, indeed. Born and bred in the state of Virginia, and I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I come from a family that loves Jesus, and I make no apologies for that. My mother was a little lady about this tall. I could rest my chin on her head. And I make fun of her sometimes, too. We'd go in a restaurant, and they'd come by. Y'all need anything? I say, yeah, my mama needs a booster seat. But you know one thing? My mother loved the Lord. And she showed that love. And all her hope in that woman's life down through the years was in Jesus Christ. Because, you see, my mother was nobody of nobility, and she never had a whole lot in her life. She worked hard, her and my dad both. But you know what? Their hope was in Jesus. And they knew how to trust in God. Because he was five of us in that family. And boy, we could eat up some groceries. Whew. You had to get to the table quick. Because I had three sisters and one brother. And let me tell you one thing. You had to get there quick because, man, they were just shoved. We only had one thing on the table when we went to the table. You had bread and one other thing. It wasn't, I don't like this.
All right, honey, I'll fix you. Let me get you some oodles and noodles. I'll get you a little mac and cheese I put in, and I'll nuke it for you. No, we didn't have nukes, and we didn't have those things. We just had mega stuff. But you know one thing? We were happy, and we knew that our trust and our hope was in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We didn't have no better sense than. We didn't even know we was poor. We thought we was okay, but we were really poor. But we had a good time. We had our parents that loved us, and they taught us about the love of Jesus. They taught us to put our hope and our trust and our confidence in Him. Many times I've seen my parents pray and seek God and saw the answer to those prayers. I learned a lot from my parents and watching their lives and watching them. Now, that's part of my sermon today. I just maybe got a little bit ahead of myself, but I'd throw that in for extra, so you won't have to put nothing extra in the plate today for that. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. Turn with me today in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Everybody ought to know this scripture. This is such a familiar scripture, but when you begin to study that scripture, you know, God began to show me some things about this scripture and some other things, you know, that went along with this scripture. I want to give a little testimony of today. We was in Roanoke last weekend. Yeah, last weekend. We had two of the great-grandsons, the little twins. They celebrated their 10th birthday, and they wanted to go somewhere. So one of them, he's like his nanny. He's nothing like his mama or his daddy. He wants to learn. The other one is like his mama and his daddy. He could care less. So Hunter says, "We want to go somewhere educational." Oh boy, I'm gonna tell you, I might have a president here. I don't know. You can't never tell. I might have a president of the United States working here. I'm gonna encourage him anyway. But you know one thing, he says, "I want to go somewhere educational." Well, Rhodey, he's got to go along with it too. So, you know, that's brother. That's twin brother. So they kind of get their heads together and they say, "We want to go on a trip." So we go on this trip and we go to Roanoke and we take them up to the Hotel Roanoke. And they said, "Oh, this is a fancy hotel." And they just, man, they just were just carried away. I told my wife, I said, "You know what? We was going to take them to the Transportation Museum." Now, don't look at me. I'll get my point. Just give me a chance here. So anyway, we took them up there, and we was going to take them to the Transportation Museum because when they were growing up, they liked trains. And they loved trains. Oh, baby, they would holler when they saw a train. "Oh, choo-choo train, choo-choo train." And they wanted me to speed up so I could ride along beside the train so they could look at it. But anyway, I think they were more excited about the hotel because they never stayed in a hotel than they were about going and seeing the train. So to make a long story short, we got there. We had a good time. They enjoyed it. We even took them in the restaurant up there. They sat up in there like two grown men, and everybody just was kind of looking at them. You know how you go in a restaurant and people, children's act up? I ain't meddling, I'm just telling you, it happens. I'm telling you, some of them got those blood-curdling screams. Oh, man, I go under the table. But they didn't do none of that, so the people were happy, and, you know, we were happy. So after the meal, we decided we were going to take a little walk, a little stroll. So we went across this glass bridge, overpass. We've crossed the highway and the railroad tracks. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been to Roanoke? No, okay. You know exactly what I mean then. We went over and we went down the escalator. They liked that. And we got down on the street. Let me tell you something. In the midst of having fun, God can place you where you didn't think that He would ever use you. We walked down the street and I saw a man sitting. He was homeless. And he had threw up beside where he was sitting. And he was sitting there. And we walked by him and we decided, well, let's go back. It's time for us to go back. So we started back. My wife and the two boys had gotten in front of me, and I walked past this man. And, you know, I'm a little bit ashamed to admit what I'm going to say. I never spoke to him. But when I walked past him, he spoke to me. Yes, indeed. We have to be careful of that, don't we? He spoke to me. My first thought was, he's going to ask me for some money. Am I going to give him any money to get him something to drink? But God checked me. He never asked me for a penny. I talked to him for a minute, and I asked him, did he know Jesus as his Savior? He said, oh, yes. And I turned to walk away. But he told me, he says, I have an ulcer. He said, it's killing me. I'm so sick. You know, the Word of God teaches us that if we see somebody in need and we don't do anything about it and we have the means to do it, that is sin to us. You can say, oh, now, brother, now, wait a minute, man. You be careful what you say this morning. You'll hurt somebody's feeling. Good, I hope I do. You see, the Word of God said the Word is an offense to those that are perishing. It's a stumbling block to us, and we need to present to God. You know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say, don't say that because you will hurt their feelings. Oh, my goodness. I hope the Word of God just tears your feelings a new one this morning. I hope it does. You see, that's what's wrong with our society today. That's what's wrong with us today. We've lost all hope in Jesus and put our hope in everything else but Him. We've trust our electronics. We trust our bank accounts. And we trust the government. And we trust everything but the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that gave us life. You see, we have come to the point where we have educated ourselves away from the Holy Spirit. We're so smart today that we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore to direct us. We don't need to lean on Jesus. We want to lean to our own understandings. We want to work it out. We want to show the world how smart we are and what we can do. But it doesn't work that way. Because sooner or later we make a big mess of everything. And I turned to walk off from this man, and the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, pray for him. And I said, sir, do you mind if I pray for you? Oh, no. No, I don't mind a bit, he said. So I went back and prayed for him. And I've been praying for him ever since. I don't know what God has in store for him or what God's going to do with that. But I'm trusting God to do something for it. And who knows, God might have put him there to test me. Be careful. Be careful how you walk away. Be careful what you say to people, because we never know where God is placing us. And we're thinking to ourselves, oh, wait a minute. Maybe he's going to ask me for money. Maybe he's going to want something that I can't give. Listen, I had something that I could give. Peter, you remember what he told the man? When the man asked him, he said, I don't have any money. The beggar sitting at the gate, he says, silver and gold. I'm broke. But what I got is Jesus Christ, and I can give that to you. And Peter took him by his hand and told him to arise and walk, and immediately the man walked. You see, a lot of times in our thinkings we think, oh no, this is going to happen. Oh no, that's going to happen. and it doesn't. It's not what we think at all. God has a purpose and a plan in our lives. Every one of us have a purpose and a plan for you and for me. We need to be careful, though, the things that we say and do, that we don't miss that plan that God has for our lives. We have to be careful how that we think about when God speaks to our hearts and we begin to think, oh, let me see. Let me see how I can better that. Lord, let me help you out, Lord. God doesn't need our help. What God needs is our obedience and our trust in Him. And you know, I was in looking these words up, you know, I sought God and prayed and sought God for a message, and it just didn't come. I struggled and struggled and struggled. All the week I've struggled. Now, I can tell you now because I'm not doing it, but I fasted and prayed. God gave me a message, and it looked like heaven was brass. And I couldn't get through no matter how hard I prayed. I would sit down to study. I would sit down and look through scriptures and thoughts that I thought were coming to my mind, but nothing ever congealed. Nothing ever came together over it. And then I heard a song. Praise God, and that song touched my heart. So I struggled with that. And I struggled with that. I was leaning to my own understanding of this thing. And I still couldn't get Scripture to go with it. And I sat down and I studied and I looked and I prayed and I pleaded with God. Lord, I've got to preach Sunday morning and I don't have a thing. All I had was a song until yesterday. And God spoke a scripture to my heart. Praise God. How many of you know that it doesn't have to be a lot? He said, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. You see, we don't have to be somebody of renown to serve God. We don't have to be somebody of nobility or somebody who is famous to stand up and share the word of God with somebody. All we have to do is be obedient unto God. And don't worry about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. Just allow the Holy Spirit to take you right along and go with the flow of Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God says in this Proverbs here, he says, let me read it here. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. What is he saying here? What is he saying to us here? And lean not on your own understanding. In other words, trust in God. First thing he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not with part of your heart, but with all of your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and your strength, and your body. Your confidence should be in Him and Him alone. And when we pray, it should be the same way. Our confidence should be in God. We shouldn't pray and think, God, I think you're going to answer my prayer. I hope you'll answer my prayer. But the way that we should pray is, God, I know you're going to answer my prayer. I know you're going to hear me, God, when I pray. Because Scripture says that His ears are ever attentive to the voice of His children. Did you hear me, church, what I said? His ears are attentive to the voice of His children. Why would you doubt God? When you go to prayer, why would you doubt Him? Why do you doubt God in your time of need and trouble? Why do you doubt Him when you've taken the problem to Him? Give it over to Him. Why are you worrying about a fight that's already been won? That lyric comes from a song too, Big Daddy We, redeemed. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have a heavenly Father that knows everything about you.
He knows when you get up and when you go out and when you come back in. He knows every thought that you think. He knows your intentions. He knows that some of you today are saying, shut up so I can get in the food line. Nothing ever escapes God. Nothing ever escapes God. Why do we worry the way that we worry? Why do we try to figure? You know, you ever stop? We try to figure things out sometimes. We have problems and situations in our lives, and we try to figure them out, but we can't. The deeper we dig, the deeper the hole becomes. And the next thing you know, we give up. Oh, what am I going to do? When all of our hope should be in Jesus. You may be saying today, but you don't know. You don't know my life. How could God save me after what I've done? You don't know the problems that I'm having. You don't know the addictions that I have in my life. How can God help me? You see, you're leaning to your own understanding. You need to let God take care of this thing. Whatever it may be small, but it may be great. But I want you to know one thing, that there's nothing too hard or too small or too great that He cannot do. If you will trust in Him, hand it over to Him and let Him take the lead and follow in His footsteps and watch what God does for you. There's nothing that you've done in this life that God won't forgive you if you will go to Him. He said, any man that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we have a Savior that doesn't look at our bank accounts, that doesn't look at our intelligence or our pedigrees, that doesn't look at our intelligence and picks and chooses from that list? Aren't you glad that we have a Savior who looks at us as a lost person who needs His love? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, that whosoever believes in Him, that whosoever is you and me and the downtrodden and that homeless man that I encountered and that person that I encountered this week that was having problems spiritually and the dark side of spirit. That alcoholic that I encountered this week. God sees all of those things, but God is able to deliver. He's able to deliver you out of any situation that you find yourself in. Ooh, praise God. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. In other words, He will make your path straight. You walk in a crooked road today. You're walking down a crooked highway. Oh, let me tell you something. Give your life over to Jesus and watch Him straighten it out. And you may be in here today. And I know it's somebody in here today that needed this message, because the Lord has already told me. God never told me who it was, but He said there's going to be one there today. And not only one, but many that are going to need that message today. And I want you to preach the Word of God the way I give it to you. And I'm going to tell you something, that's exactly what I intended on doing today, is saying what God has put in my heart, and I'm going to give it just like He gives it to me. If your feelings get hurt, so be it. But I want you to know one thing. I would rather for you to be upset with me than to God to be upset with me because I didn't do what He said do. Praise God. Sometimes people need to get upset. Sometimes things need to be said to jar us and stir our hearts and our thoughts and keep our minds in line with God.
You see, that's what's wrong with the world today in society and the children of this world. We've let them go too long, and we've compromised too much, and we don't need to be compromising the Word of God. His Word is not compromised. It's yea and amen. It's everything that He says is the truth. He said, let every man be a lie and God be the truth. Hallelujah. My hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed today? Have you been plunged beneath that fountain? Oh, hallelujah. I remember studying in the history books, Ponce de Leon. I pronounced that pretty good, didn't I? Ponce de Leon. How many of you know who he was? Yeah, he discovered Florida, but he got something else in return, didn't he? He got an Indian arrow in his body. He went to Florida looking for the fountain of youth. There are people out here in our society today are looking for the fountain of youth. Ladies, I want to tell you something. And men now, oh my goodness, yes, men too. You can put all the makeup on you want to. You can color it up and paint it up, but I got news for you. That biological clock has been set in motion, and that body is deteriorating. If you don't think it ain't, I can tell you all about it. I can just describe to you all the aches and the pains. All people say, oh, you look good for a 71-year-old. I said, oh, thank you for that compliment, but I want to tell you one thing. This body don't feel that compliment. Because the Word of God says, I'm going to die one of these days. This body is going to grow old and frail. And then there's nothing you can do to stop it. So keep on painting. Like one preacher said, some old bond need a little coat of paint every now and then. I told you I was going to say what I wanted to today. I like my wife when she puts her makeup on. I tell her how pretty she is. Even if she don't have any makeup, I still tell her she's pretty. Yes, indeed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That covers a big area, doesn't it? It didn't say anything about loving Him on Sunday morning and going out and living like the devil the rest of the world. It says with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with every fiber of your beings, we're to love God and Him alone. In other words, put your trust in God and watch what He does. I get excited when God does things. I'll tell you, I was so excited for Bobby Duggins. When he pulled through that surgery, that four-vessel bypass, and they had told him that it was going to be rough. But I want to tell you something. Bobby's hope was in Jesus. When I went over to talk to him the day before he had the surgery, Bobby's hope was in the Lord. And Gail said the first thing he said when they pulled the vent out of him was, thank you, Jesus. Woo! What confidence in our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We need to love God, don't we? We need to love on Him with all we have. All of our fibers of our beings, we need to love God and put our confidence in Him. Don't think that you can go one day and serve God and the next day you'll be out here living for the devil. It doesn't work that way. You can't hold hands with God and play footsie with the devil. It doesn't work. Sooner or later, your sins are going to find you out. That's what the Word of God says. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and put your trust in Him. Psalms 37 and verse 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do you do good? You ever stop and think, am I a good person? What do you do good? I asked a question one time in a funeral. I said, what have you done with your life? I knew this person, and that person hadn't done good with their lives. And God had given me the scripture, and I asked the congregation, I said, what have you done with your life? You know, it makes you think sometimes, doesn't it, when you ask questions like that. No, I could have got up here this morning and I could have just tickled your ears, and, you know, I could have just told you all these little warm fuzzies, and, oh, man, I could have just laid it on thick, you know, honey pie and sugar darling, and not mention anything about sin or none of those things. But you know what? It would have been to no avail, wouldn't it? It isn't what God wants. It isn't what he did when he walked this earth. I remember a church in Wisconsin one time where the preacher told the people on the Wednesday night services when they came in for prayer meeting, don't be speaking in tongues when you pray, because we'll have other people in here from other churches and they may leave. It might be an offense to them. How many of you know that I read in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost and on through that 3,000 were added to the church daily? And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, you didn't know you was in a Pentecostal church? Oh, but yeah, y'all, we believe in speaking in tongues in here. And we do it. Oh, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we get excited in here. Oh, sometimes we may run. Sometimes we may jump. Some people, I'm telling you, they just get beside themselves. They say, oh, brother, that's all emotion. Oh, I hope the Holy Spirit, if you say that in your mind today, I hope he gets a hold of you before you leave and you show yourself right in here in this church, because we're going to join in right with you. Yes, we are. Oh, praise God. Ha ha. Woo, you lean into your own understanding when you get to talking like that. Oh, brother, you could have went all day without saying things like that. Hey, that's what the Holy Spirit gave me, so that's what I'm going to say. I don't care whether you like it or not. Sorry about your luck. The money's still up here. If you want to come out and get your quarter, you can do it. Praise God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful to us, isn't he? Hallelujah. He's faithful. Let me tell you something. God has been faithful to this church down through the years. I think my mother had me here in the church. I'm not for sure, but I think I must have been born in here. But I know all the ins and the outs of the church and where, when it started and what's going on. And I have seen God move mightily in this church. Do you know that we have missionaries that come out of this church? Yes, we have. Do you know we've had preachers come out of this church? We had a Sunday school teacher one time here in this church, and he pastored one of the biggest churches in Manassas, Virginia, that was out of this little church. Yes, indeed. People say this little church. Thank God for this little church. Woo, I gave my life to Jesus Christ in this little church and got filled with the Holy Ghost right here in this little church. Thank God for little churches. Yes, indeed. Thank God for the people that love and show that love of God. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Whew. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What is he saying here? In other words, what he's saying is give everything to God. You can't hide it from him. Did you think that when you prayed and you told God, God, I give up. Lord, you might not know it, but this is going on in my life, God said. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing ever catches him by surprise. You can't tell him nothing new, because he knows everything. So why don't you just bawl and cry and just fall over on him and just weep and pour your heart out to him? You know, my aunt, when I thought about that when I said that. My mother's sister, she lived in Maryland. We got a bunch of family that lives up there. And she told her children one time, she said, "Now listen to me. When I die, I don't want y'all to be crying over me." Oh my goodness, how cold that woman could be. But you see, we didn't let her finish what she had to say. She said, "I don't want you crying over me, but I want you to moan and wail over me," she said, "because you've lost your best friend." You know what? That's the way we need to go to God. We need to go to Him and pour our hearts out to Him. Get hysterical. Get beside ourselves sometimes. And pour it out and let God get all of that dross out. And break up that old foul ground in our hearts and confess, "Lord, I need more of you in my life, God. Lord, I need to depend more on you. I need to put more of my trust in you for everything in my life." You see, we can trust God with some things, but it's hard to trust God with all things. Some people think that. And when God says, "Well, I want you to give this," "Oh, God, I can't trust you with my wallet now." Sure you can. Sure you can, because His Word said if you give, the Word of God teaches us to honor God with our first fruits. And then His Word said, if you do this and you give to the needy and the poor, He says, "I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you can't contain." That's what His Word says. You see, we can't take part of the Word and lean on that. And there's another part over here that, "Well, I don't know about that too much, because that's going to rub me the wrong way. Or I might have to get up and do something, rather than just coming in on Sunday morning and sitting down and listening to the pastor and listening to some of them people he gets up at I don't know about. I might have to do that. God, I really don't know if I want to do all of that or not." Why not? You may be just the person that God places in somebody's life that is contemplating suicide. You may be just the person that God places you in a hospital room that God wants to heal. And you may be the instrument He wants to use. You ever stop and think about it that way? God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of your lives. Sometimes we go through trials and tests. We go through that schooling process. You see, God sent Jeremiah on a field trip to the potter's house to teach Jeremiah. God does the same for you and I. Sometimes we go through struggles in our lives, and we go through trials and tests. God is strengthening you and me. And we don't need to think about it and lean to our own understanding about those things. But what we need to do is acknowledge Him in all our ways. Say, "God, I don't know what's going on. And I don't know why this is happening, Father. But I know You must have a purpose for it. There must be a purpose for this." You know, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Ezra, the people that come out of captivity, they repented. When the Word of God was read, they began to repent of their sins. They began to repent. You know, sometimes we need to start with repentance. Sometimes we need to say, "Lord, search me and see if there's any wicked way in me." Sometimes we need to do that. You say, "Well, I don't do anything wrong." If you lie, you fry. That means you're going to hell if you lie. And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, look it up. It's in Revelation. All lies and faith going to bake in the lake. That's what it says. Look it up. We need to stop and think a little bit. and wait and listen for the Holy Spirit to show you your life, show you what's going on. Sometimes you'll be a surprise, won't you? Lord, am I really, do I really love you, Lord? Lord, am I the witness that you want me to be? Lord, you called me to be salt and light. Am I that salt and light that you want me to be? Lord, am I really trusting you? Am I putting my trust in you? Or am I putting my trust in my own finances to get me through? Or Lord, am I putting my trust in my ability? Or Lord, am I seeking your wisdom? Is my knowledge coming from you, God? Or is it coming from my own understanding? Lord, I want everything that I got to come from you. I want you to direct me and lead me. And God, if you put me in a homeless man's place, God, put me there. And let me be a light to that person. And I know what some of you think. Oh, I couldn't take that. I got a weak stomach. I couldn't take it. Let me tell you something. You can take anything when God is in it. And when your trust and your hope and your confidence is in God. Let me tell you something. You don't think Christian people won't walk away and turn their head from somebody like that? Now you know I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again, because if the Holy Spirit didn't want me to use it, he wouldn't have brought it to my attention. Christian people will do that. Oh, not me, brother. You're going over too far this morning. Let me tell you how we are. We'll do those things and then we'll make excuses for it, why we did it. That's right. You will. You watch and see what I tell you. See if it don't happen to you. Sooner or later. I was studying my Sunday school lesson one morning, and the Holy Spirit spoke, and it was on witnessing. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was sitting at my dining room table getting ready to come to church to teach a Sunday school class. We had three adult Sunday school classes, bam, 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 right side by side. And we all studied the same curriculum. And the Holy Spirit told me, he says, I want you to call this young man, and I want you to get him to dress up like a homeless person and place him outside the church. So I called the young man. In fact, he was a relative of mine. I called him and I said, hey, can you do this for me this morning? He said, no, I really can't. I'm pressed for time. I said, okay. So I just hung the phone up and said, okay. Lord, it must not have been on you. But then 5 minutes, bam, he called me right back. He says, yes, I can do it. I can do it. I said, okay. So I met him at the church before, early. I come early. I set him out there on the corner of the church. That's before we had this building here. And we was over there, and I set him over on the corner. And he was all made up good. Oh, he done rubbed dirt all over himself and had a hat on and a pair of blue coveralls. And he was sitting there, and he had a brown bag with a bottle in it. Yeah, it was a drink bottle. It wasn't a whiskey bottle. But anyway, he hit it sitting there. It made it look good. And he told me, he said, don't let nobody call the cops on me. I said, no, I'm not going to let nobody call the cops on you. He sat there and he sat down and he put his head down between his knees where nobody could see his face. And I watched person after person come by. First man approached him and said, call the cops on you. Man hadn't done anything. I'm called law and have you locked up. God convicted him immediately. He run into church, got him a cup of coffee and some food at the food bank, put down, and come back and set it right down beside him. Some people walk by him. Some people walk. You need some money? Need something to eat? They'd walk away. I'm ashamed to admit this, but I got to admit it. The pastor looked at him and said, if you don't behave yourself, I'll have you put in jail. And it wasn't Ron Cannon either. So it's been a long time, and that's over with and done with. You understand me? God forgives. And I watched that go on till the Sunday school hour was ready. And I waited till everybody got in. I went to each Sunday school teacher, and I says, I want to speak to your class before you get started. They said, okay. So I brought him into church. I said, how many of you saw this man this morning? Oh, yeah, we saw him right there. They still didn't recognize him. Oh, we saw him right there. Yeah, we saw him sitting by the corner. And he walked away from me while I was talking to the people. I said, let me tell you something. I said, some of you told this man that you would put him in jail. Some of you told him you was going to call the law. Some of you wanted to give him money. Some of you wanted to give him food. I said, it was one thing right behind the other that you wanted to do. I said, but not the first person asked this man to come into this church. I said, do you know who this was? He had come back, and he took his hat off. Oh, yeah, yeah, and then he walked away again. And I didn't see him. And then I looked around for him, and we used to have an old pew over, and the curtain was closed over, and I saw him sitting on that pew with the curtain closed, and he was weeping. And I went over. And later on, he talked to me. He says, I want to tell you something. He said, if that wasn't for anybody else, that was for me. He said, when I walked into that church, after all those people passed me by, he said, God spoke to me and said, look what I did for you. You see, this boy had been on drugs at one time in his life, and God delivered him. Oh, and you say, well, people got upset, Christian people got, oh, yeah. One lady come to me immediately, right up in my face. My husband said, you just don't never know who's got a gun. One person told me, had they known what I was going to do, they wouldn't have let me say anything to their class. We never know who God is placing in our lives and for what reason he's placing them. But the Word of God teaches me that when I'm asked of a hope that lies within me to give an answer with meekness and gentleness. You see, we're the only light that some people may ever see in this world. They might not have no hope, but we have a hope, and we can give that hope to them. Every bit of our hope should be in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, indeed. We never know when somebody's life is hanging in the balance, when hell has enlarged its mouth, ready to swallow them up. And you may be the person that snatches that person out of the mouth of hell by being obedient unto God and putting your trust and your hope in God. Letting your light shine and being the light that God wants you to be. You say, but you don't know what I go through with. You don't know my struggles. I don't know your struggles. You don't know my struggles. But I know one that knows everything. I know that one that knows the hair on my head and when one of them falls out. I know a man that can speak every language. Yes, indeed. He can speak all languages, and he knows all hearts. He knows from end to end every person in this world because he has placed us here. He's placed each and every one of us. He has given us a gift. He's given us a heart to love with. And a lot of times, we're not obedient to those things. Especially as Christians. We as Christians, you've heard your mother say, you ought to know better. I never was so upset in all my life when I got a ticket one day because I was speeding. my speedometer was off. And I was the last one that that judge tried that day. And I had the paper to prove that my speedometer was off. And one young man in front of me, he was a kid, a teenager, was got 80 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. And the judge dismissed it because he had big tires on his truck and his speedometer was off. So I come up there, and I'm thinking to myself, well, he's going to be merciful to me. I walk up there, and he looks over his glasses at me. Mr. Williams, a man with your driving experience, ought to know you were speeding. Charge you $150. Oh, my goodness. I thought I didn't deserve it, but I was speeding, so I deserved it. You know what? We're going to get what we deserve one of these days, aren't we? We're going to stand before the righteous judge. That's what the Word of God says. We're going to stand before the righteous judge, and we're going to give account for everything that we've done, good or evil, while we was on this earth. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. If you don't think it ain't in that, you go and look. That's what's wrong with us. We don't read the Word of God. You see, it's full of promises for you and me. It's full of corrections and rebukes. It's for correction and rebuke. It's for edification. If you will just pick it up and begin to read it and let it speak to your heart and your life, then and then alone will you be able to put all your hope in Jesus and trust in Him. That was brought up in our Sunday school lesson today. Do Christians need to read the Word of God daily? Ooh. We read the newspaper daily, don't we? Some of us look at the stock markets, and the obituaries, and stuff like that. But how many of us take the Word of God and look at it on a daily basis? God, show me. Show me, Lord. Show me what you have for me. Lord, you just don't know the problems that I'm having. Lord, I'm telling you, I'm going through all these situations, and God, I don't know what to do about them. He has the answer for you right here, if you just look. He says right here in 1 Peter 5 and 7, he says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you, to present all our worries, anxieties, and problems to God in order to let Him handle them. That's what His Word teaches us. You don't know that unless you get into the Word of God and read it and study the Word of God. He even goes further. He says, Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast all your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. And He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The Lord is the one constant in life and the one true friend. He can always bear the burden. Regardless of what we put on God, He can bear that burden. Yes, He can. But we have to put our trust and our hope in Him. Psalms 27 and 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Though the world forsake me, God will take care of me. If I put my trust and my hope in Him and Him alone. Jeremiah 9 and 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising love, kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, saith the Lord. Oh, praise God. I want to tell you something. The rich young ruler, he put his trust and his hope in all his riches. He put his confidence in all those things. And when God asked him one question, was to get rid of all of that and put his hope in Him, the Word of God said he went away sad in his heart. He couldn't do that. He couldn't turn away all the knowledge that he had and all the wealth that he had amassed. He couldn't put that second to God. He couldn't put God above those things. And the Word of God says he walked away sad in his heart. You know, the Word of God doesn't teach us what happened to that young man, does it? But I hope somewhere between that time and before he slipped into eternity, that he gave everything over to God. The prodigal son, he trusted in the riches that his father had. And he asked for all the things. He thought that, hey, I can go out and have a good time. I want to have a good time in life. I want to spend all that I've got. And I can make money, and I can do this, and I can do that. He put his trust in the wrong thing, didn't he? Yes, he found himself in the hog pen. Found himself wallowing in the mire until he come to himself and he says, I'm going back. I'm going back to my father's house. And he went back. And his father received him with loving arms. I want to tell you something today. I don't know who you are, but somebody in here today, the enemy of your soul is dogging your heels. He might be telling you that you're nothing and you're not worth living, but he's a liar. But I'm telling you today, I have a Savior who wants to greet you with open arms. He wants to love you and pick you up out of that miry clay. He wants to set your feet on solid ground. But you have to let him do that. You have to give it over to him. You have to come to him in faith, believing in him. You see, you've heard the word of God today. That's the first step. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The door is open for you today. Not only just one person, but anybody else in here today. You may be going through a rough place in your life and you need help. The altars are open. The altars are open. And I'll be here to pray with you. And I'll be here to believe. Not only pray, but believe with you. You know, I can remember years ago, the things changed down through the years, but I can remember years ago when a pastor was preaching and the Spirit of God was moving on hearts. People didn't wait. They would get up and just come to the altars and pray. Anymore, we don't want to embarrass nobody. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman, and he won't embarrass you. I've been serving God since 1969, and God has never embarrassed me. My hope and my trust has been in him. Now, I haven't been perfect. Don't think that. I've had ups and downs, but you know one thing? I'm still serving him, and he's a forgiving God, and he still loves me and still using me, and I thank him for that. Oh, praise God. Don't turn him away today. Father, we're so thankful for your word today, Lord. Lord, I believe.